Welcome to your deep dive. Today we're really diving deep into the world of coral reefs. We're going to be exploring the connection between a coral's energy and its epigenetics. And we've got some, this is exciting research we're looking at here. This is like real-time scientific debate stuff. So
Yeah, it's really cool. It's not just like a summary. It's, you know, we're looking at science in action, which is always exciting.
Oh, absolutely. So you've shared these excerpts from a discussion between researchers. And it seems like they're really grappling with this idea. How could a coral's energy state actually be driving changes in its epigenetics? And, you know, it sounds like they are trying to find those smoking gun correlations to support these big hypotheses they're coming up with.
That's exactly it. And they're asking, like, some really big questions, too. Like, do corals that have more energy reserves show, like, bigger, more dramatic epigenetic changes? And then there's the whole question of how do environmental factors, like, if there are more nutrients available, how does that play into the whole picture? You know, it's like trying to understand this whole interplay between a coral's environment and its internal energy budget, and then how its genes are actually being regulated.
That is fascinating stuff. Okay, so let's back up for a second. Tell me a little bit about the study itself. What kind of coral are they looking at? What data are they using? Stuff like that.
Okay, so the researchers are focusing on a type of coral called Orbicella fabulata, which you might also see it called Montestrea fabulata, but don't worry, it's the same coral. They just, the name's changed a bit over the years. And they're looking at specifically gene expression data from this experiment where they took the coral and they exposed it to all these different nutrient levels. But what's really cool is that they're also comparing this data to another experiment with a different species, which is Acropora pulchra. And this one was exposed to like a heat wave. So they're trying to see, you know, if this like energy epigenetics link, is it the same across different species and different stressors?
Oh, wow. So it's like they're trying to crack the code. Like, how do corals respond to stress at like the most fundamental level?
Exactly. And their working hypothesis is that basically if a coral is in a high energy state, and that could be from, you know, those extra nutrients we were talking about, maybe it's got a boost in photosynthesis, whatever it is. But that high energy state, their hypothesis is that that could be the key. Like, it could be driving these epigenetic changes, you know, flipping some kind of switch.
Okay, now unpack that a bit for me. So they're finding actual correlations between like the coral's energy state and actual changes in their DNA. Like, tell me a little bit about what they are seeing in this data.
Yeah, so it all starts with, remember those corals that got the extra nutrients? What they're seeing is this like increased expression of genes that are all related to energy storage and metabolism, which makes sense, right? If the coral is going into this like high energy mode, it's like watching them pack on the pounds, but like metabolically speaking.
So basically they're seeing the coral's energy reserves actually increase in response to having more food available.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but how does that actually connect to their DNA and their epigenetics?
That is the million-dollar question, right? That is what they're trying to figure out. So to connect the dots, they're looking at something called differentially methylated loci, or DMLs. And just think of these as like regions in the DNA where methylation patterns are actually changing. And these changes, they can like turn gene expression up or down, like a volume knob. So the researchers, they really want to see if there are any patterns in how these DMLs are actually methylated. Like, are they hypermethylated? Are they hypomethylated under different energy conditions?
Now, just for someone who's not a scientist, if a DML is hypermethylated, it means there's just more methylation happening in that region, and hypomethylated means less.
Mm.
Exactly. Yeah, you got it. It's like, imagine adding or removing sticky notes on a page. Those methylation marks, that's what they're doing. They're influencing which parts of the DNA are actually being read and used to make proteins.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
Okay.
Okay, so by looking at these DMLs, they can kind of get a sense of how the coral's entire genome is being affected by how much energy it has to work with.
Precisely. And not only that, but they're also looking at the expression of, get this, over 400 genes that are all related to DNA, RNA, and chromatin modification. So these are like the master regulators of gene activity.
Okay, so this is where it gets really interesting, I think. So they've got this like treasure trove of genetic information. What are they finding? How are these genes actually behaving in corals that have different energy levels?
Well, that's what they're trying to figure out. And I'm sure, you know, as with a lot of cutting edge research, it's not always a straightforward answer.
I bet it's not. So it sounds like they've got this like huge web of data they're trying to untangle. What are some of the like biggest challenges they're facing as they're, you know, trying to connect the dots between the coral's energy state and these epigenetic changes they're observing?
I think one of the biggest challenges, honestly, is just the sheer complexity. It's like, imagine you're trying to map out all the roads in a city, but instead of roads, it's like all these intricate signaling pathways with like countless molecular interactions happening.
Yeah, and I'm guessing there's not just like a single on or off switch for these epigenetic changes, right? It can't be that simple.
You're telling me, yeah, the researchers are finding that there isn't this one gene or even like a single pathway that's responsible for like flipping this epigenetic switch. It's way more complicated than that. It's like, it's more like a whole orchestra with tons of instruments all playing together.
I can only imagine. So it's not just about figuring out which genes are involved. It's about understanding how they all interact with each other. And then on top of that, you've got to factor in like how they interact with the environment too. That is a whole new level.
Totally. And then on top of all that, there's the data itself. Like they have this great gene expression data, but even there, like, okay, this is interesting, but we need a much more complete picture of the coral's whole metabolism, you know, to really nail this down.
That's right. They're really excited about getting that metabolomics data, right? Why is that data so important for their research?
It's huge because metabolomics is like, it's like taking a snapshot of all the chemical reactions that are happening inside that coral at that exact moment. And that's going to give them like so much more detail about how the energy is actually being produced, how it's being used, and if it's being shunted towards, you know, any particular cellular processes, like maybe epigenetic modifications.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's like switching from like, I don't know, standard definition picture to high definition. Like they're going from this broad view of gene expression to like a close up of all the little molecular machines that are driving those changes.
That's a perfect analogy. And that level of detail, that's going to be key for them to actually confirm like, okay, these corals with the higher nutrient levels, are they actually in this high energy state we think they're in? And how is that energy being used, you know, allocated within the coral?
So it's not just about seeing that there are these changes in gene expression related to energy storage and metabolism. It's about proving, like definitively, that the coral is actually operating at a higher metabolic rate. Mm. And then being able to link that directly to the epigenetic modifications they're seeing.
Exactly. And remember all those correlations they were seeing between the gene expression and those DMLs? Mm-hmm. They're trying to figure out like, okay, how do we actually interpret those connections, you know?
Yeah, the classic conundrum. Correlation does not equal causation.
Right.
Just because two things are happening at the same time doesn't necessarily mean that one is causing the other.
Right.
I know I've definitely fallen into that trap before in my own, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's a trap for all of us, especially in research. So just because they're seeing like, okay, maybe the expression of a certain epigenetic modifier changes and at the same time you see this change in the coral, it doesn't automatically mean that modifier is like the puppet master, you know, pulling all the strings.
Oh, totally. It's like, you know, that whole thing about trying to figure out if the rooster crowing is what causes the sun to rise.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they might happen in a predictable pattern, but it doesn't mean one is causing the other. Could there be other factors at play here that are, I don't know, influencing both the coral's energy state and its epigenetics at the same time?
Exactly. There could be this whole network of interactions happening. It's like a murder mystery with multiple suspects.
Ooh, like that.
Right. And so they really need more evidence to pinpoint like, okay, which of these suspects had the means and the opportunity, you know, to be the culprit, or in this case, to be the like key mechanism.
It sounds like such a challenging puzzle to solve.
Oh, it definitely is. But to really get to the bottom of it, they're going to need to dig deeper into the specific roles of each of those epigenetic modifiers and then understand how those are being influenced by all the different metabolic pathways.
And that's where that metabolomics data is going to be really, really useful. It's going to be fascinating to see how that piece of the puzzle falls into place. So they're like hot on the trail of these epigenetic clues, but they need more data to like really crack the case wide open. What's next for them? Like, what are they hoping to find out with all this new research they're doing?
Well, they want to dive deeper into that metabolomics data for sure. But they're also, you know, they're really eager to like expand their research beyond just Orbitella flaviolata and Acropora pulchra. They want to know, like, do these energy epigenetic connections, do they hold true across like a much wider range of coral species?
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You can't just look at two types of coral and call it a day. Coral reefs are like incredibly diverse ecosystems. It's, you know, it's like comparing a rainforest to a desert, both amazing, but totally different.
Exactly. And that's what's so exciting about this. Like, imagine if they find similar patterns across all these different types of coral. That would suggest that this connection between energy and epigenetics, it's like a fundamental rule of like how corals work, period.
Yeah.
Like discovering a hidden language that all corals speak, right, regardless of, you know, their own specific like adaptations and stuff.
I love that. That's a great way to put it. And of course, we can't talk about corals without talking about, you know, climate change.
Right, right, of course.
The researchers know that whatever they find, it could have like huge implications for understanding how corals might adapt to a warming ocean, which is a pretty big deal. That's right. I mean, corals are already facing like a million threats, right? You've got pollution, you've got ocean acidification. So if we can untangle these energy epigenetic links, it might give us some clues about, you know, which corals might be like the most resilient, the ones that can handle these changes the best.
Absolutely. And it brings us to, I think, like a final thought-provoking question. What if, by understanding this connection between a coral's energy state and how it responds epigenetically, what if we could use that knowledge to actually make them more resilient?
Whoa. Okay, you're talking about like actually intervening, like finding a way to, I don't know, give corals an energy boost to help them cope with these like really stressful conditions they're facing.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's a bold idea.
Yeah.
And obviously a lot more research needs to be done before we even think about doing anything like that. But I don't know, it's an example of how this research, it's not just about understanding this one aspect of coral biology. It's about how we might be able to use that knowledge to actually protect these like vital, you know, incredibly important ecosystems, you know,
yeah,
for the future.
Wow. It's pretty amazing to think about that by like digging into the tiniest details of how corals work, we might actually find the key to making sure that they survive. Well, thank you so much for, you know, taking us on this deep dive today. This has been really fascinating.
My pleasure. It's always exciting to talk about, you know, the frontiers of science, and especially when it comes to something as important and as beautiful as coral reefs.